from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome again, everybody. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name is Alon.
And my name's Ara.
Now, we don't have Rich in the studio this week, but he's here in our hearts, here in spirit.
He's been sacked.
Well,
temporarily.
One way or another, he's gone. And you're going away this weekend, too, huh?
I'm going to sack myself later on, too.
You're going to go watch a race.
Yeah, in London, of all places.
You know, I try to have this show not just be about video games and the Chatterbox community. I want it to be about us. And about the community as a whole.
I would like to spend an hour just talking about myself, honestly.
Really? I mean, Chatterboxers are our family. You're my family, even though you don't call me back on Saturday when I say I want to play Rock Band. We're together. And we have that togetherness feeling.
I'm doing that push-pull thing, you know.
Okay, understood. So, in that vein, we're going to turn this, the next 2 minutes, into the Chatterbox Love Fest. And by that I mean, it's stock tip time. So here's what happened. I've been telling you guys for the last couple of weeks. I've been in jury duty. And so I'm going to tell you about myself, nothing to do with video games. It's what I had to go through. I couldn't talk about it. Now we've decided just a few hours ago. I'm still very nervous because the decision we brought forth to this federal civil court. You've all heard of Gore-Tex, probably, the company that makes Gore-Tex's Gore, or W.L. Gore, to be specific. And they were in a big battle against C.R. Bard. And the whole thing was about fake arteries, right? So it makes, long story short,
very exciting.
I, along with seven other just people from the community who are not experts and shouldn't have been asked to make this decision in the first place, awarded Bard from Gore's treasure trove of money, and they have a whole hell of a lot of it, I think. We said that Gore has to give $186 million. Million to Bard. So,
and how much of that do you get?
I get zero. And if I were to buy the stock tomorrow, it would probably, I think, no one's told me this, but I suspect it would be grounds for a mistrial because it would look like I made the decision on purpose in favor of Bard so I could buy their stock and make money.
But I could buy the stock.
But the whole question was
and no mistrial.
You could. It was a patent invalidity question. Gore was saying it was an invalid patent. So we've now said it's valid and you can collect royalties as you should have been for the last 5 years. So there's the money for the last 5 years and you get 12 more years of patent infringement claims or just licensing or whatever. So if you want to make some money, invest in CR, which I think is BRC. I think that's the ticker. Now, for all I know, they could have so much money that $185 million, not a big deal. But the future, the fact that we've said their patent is valid.
I'm going to be watching that.
That is money in the bank.
Because you know how much I like to look out for those hot stocks.
They went down just over a dollar today. But then, like, I don't think it's been announced. They haven't
put a penny stock's even more exciting.
Well, it's
an
$84 stock. But it went down a dollar. So,
a dollar, not to a dollar.
Yeah, I didn't see any reporters in the courtroom watching the decision be made or handed down or whatever you might say. But
they left 10 years ago.
It'll definitely be news tomorrow. And if you can get in early enough before the wire gets a hold of it, you, my friend, might be a winner. Not to mention the fact that its price has like tripled or quadrupled in the last 2 years.
You could be like the next Jim Cramer. I mean, you know, well, forget all this video game stuff.
I think what I'm going to do to get rich is just find out all the companies that have really big court cases pending and go sit in the court because I'll be there before all the reporters get wind of the press releases. And I'll just sit and watch. Oh, this company lost $100 million. This company made $100 million. Let's invest wisely. And that's how I'll just make money being in court, getting that news faster than the rest of the world.
All you need to do is just make yourself look really, really angry and just say things slower and louder than everyone else, and then you'll be looked on as an authority.
Maybe. What I can tell you now is that I'm very stressed out, because making a decision like this is, well, it wasn't easy. So, anyway, let's talk about video games now. I've got that out of my system. If you have any questions, feel free to call us at 866-536-1100. Happy to give you any stock tip that I might have. By the way, not connected with any of those companies, although they are both in Arizona. Not headquartered, but the vascular graft areas.
You love those vascular grafts.
I got to see a graft loaded, pressurized with dog's blood until it exploded, or breached, at least, and saw blood spill all over a table. It was fantastic. I almost had to excuse myself from court one day because I was getting a little wheezy. I'm very sensitive to blood and needles and stuff.
Yes, folks, it's your American tax dollars at work.
All right, so We have a lot to talk about. I've been playing a lot of games lately. It's a Christmas season. Everybody has. So aside from the Rock Band that we've been playing and stuff, also got my hands, last week I mentioned, Uncharted Drake's Fortune.
Yeah, I heard you liked that game.
You know,
I heard you hated it and then you liked it.
No, it's weird. I expected to hate it.
Right.
It had some of the serious control issues that I expected it to have.
Yeah. Did you have issues with the foliage being in, you know, the wrong climate of the world as depicted?
I wouldn't know the difference. I don't really care. One of the things I want to say about it is that it's one of the most, like, complex, nice, well-developed environment in any game that I've seen. I want to say the graphics were just amazing.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, since PlayStation 3 touts 1080 and decides to not actually make all their games 1080, I don't know. Everything looked jaggy to me. I'm sure it had anti-aliasing up the wazoo, but all the games I play on the PS3 look like junk.
So what? It's like the most detailed graphics ever instead of the most beautiful?
I probably need to change a setting and say that it should go to 1080i rather than 720p, but almost no games are in 1080p, and the fact that they tout their system as full HD pisses the hell out of me, because we have the 1080p TV. Every game we play on the Xbox these days, 1080p. Yet, on the PS3, there's like two games that are 1080p, which means it goes to 720, probably because of a setting that's my fault, admittedly. I'm sure I can figure out a way to make it 1080i. But on my 1080 TV, it looks not as good as it could. So anyway, I was playing Assassin's Creed yesterday as well. And
oh, yes. We haven't talked too much about that game.
We haven't talked at all about it, but I finally got to play it. And what's great is my roommate's like, Alon, we got to get Assassin's Creed. Everybody's saying all these great things about it. It's awesome. And I was like, dude, first of all, calm down. It's made by Ubisoft. It's going to suck. Everyone thinks their games are awesome, but they're actually not. I haven't seen many bugs in it yet.
You have a very personal relationship with Ubisoft.
Oh, I hate Ubisoft. So anyway, I have found a couple bugs, not any showstoppers, not a big deals, but there's other issues that make the game uncool, although cool enough that I still want to keep playing it. So I don't want to put it down that much. It's got some nifty elements. Its load time is a little bit extreme, especially given that it's got a hard drive in the damn system. And the graphics are actually incredibly weak for what I expected.
Really? What were you expecting? Less Matrix-style boxes? Because that's what I was expecting.
Well, everyone talks a big game for Assassin's Creed and Ubisoft games, and then it's on the PS3. I thought it would do a good job, but honestly, like, maybe I'm jaded with the games I've been playing lately, but like, it doesn't come anywhere close to Gears or Uncharted or Unreal Tournament that came out today, or sometime this week anyway. So anyway, the games that I've been playing lately, there were those. Also, though, I got Trauma Center, New Blood for the Wii, and I got Geometry Wars Galaxies for the DS and the Wii, and I want to talk about the connection. This is the first game that I know of. There's probably some others. First game I know of, though, that links the DS and the Wii. And this...
So how's that supposed to work? Are they like the same game or what? Can you play on the DS and then later on, I don't feel like playing on the DS. I'm going to go play on the Wii and then play on the Wii for a while.
Well, you can't transfer your saves, which actually would be good to link and say, oh, well, I finished some more galaxies, because it's very... I wouldn't say it's story-driven, but there's all these, like, you play one galaxy and you get a certain score, and then you move over and you play another galaxy and whatever, and so you can build up and you've got this, like, experience meter that goes up. So clearly there's linearity and not storyline, but in your gameplay.
Right.
It would be nice if you could transfer over. Oh, connect, transfer it over and play it on the Wii now. But all they do is some crap that we've seen in other games before, that all it does is, oh, if you link the two, meaning if you purchased both of them.
Right. Wait, hold on. I will use my psychic powers to divine the answer. You will get something unlocked that's really lame.
Yes!
Oh, man.
I mean, I don't know if it's really lame, but it unlocks a new galaxy, which is just... Or no, it's the Lambda system or something? I don't know. But here's another issue, too. Like, on the DS, it just says scanning, scanning, scanning. Forever. Eternally, it says scanning and doesn't get anything. The Wii immediately says, oh, you unlocked Lambda system. Sweet. If you care. But on the DS, it just says scanning forever. If you go to their website, it says you're supposed to unlock special things on each of them. It doesn't say anything on the DS. So that part of the game is broken, for one. And on top of that, why waste my time? I paid for the game. Give me all the content you made. If you want to chintz me out and make me download and pay for new levels...
Yes, they want to.
At least people have come to think that that's okay. I still disagree. But don't keep a part of the game out of my hands just because I didn't buy the other version of exactly the same game on another system. That pisses me off. Anyway, we'll be back after break.
You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Hey.
Welcome back again, everybody. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
And I'm Alon.
And we were talking about a few things last show that we didn't get around to actually finish talking about.
We had a whole big show
that's
about
usually,
the Gerstmann incident.
Yes, I've got... This is Gerstmann incident part two. I've got a new angle on this thing.
This won't take up the whole show, though.
No. But I think it's very revealing to mention
that's
this.
Good, because I thought the next two segments would talk more about stock tips. We've been getting a lot of good feedback already.
Sweet.
On the interwebs. Chatterboxgameshow.com.
Maybe we can go public, and then we'll talk about our own.
Yeah. While we're giving out URLs, actually, I want to remember to mention UAT, UAT.edu, excuse me. That's the website for the University of Advancing Technology. They've given up Rich for, I think, about a week while he goes back home. I don't know if they've got a Christmas break or something going on right now. A winter break, not a Christmas break. That would be incorrect. So, anyway, he's gone for a week. He'll be back next week, and someone else here will probably be going home for Christmas or something. I don't know. Anyway, University of Advanced Technology, good people.
So get this. As I was doing some research last week on this whole Gerstmann stuff, right, I read the review that Jeff Gerstmann wrote, right?
Certainly good stuff for us to do before we rant about it on the radio.
Right. Now you guys know how I feel about reviews in general, right? So when I read a review...
Let's recap that first real quick.
You guys know how I feel about...
No, I mean recap like how you actually feel. One sentence.
They're all hacks.
Okay.
All right. So when I read a sentence in a review like, IO Interactive is best known for its stealth-focused Hitman series... But there's nothing quiet and sneaky about its latest release, Kane and Lynch Deadman. When I hear a statement like that, I went, this sounds like, you know, it's not coming from the heart. Like, it's not, you know, somehow it's like a little too produced. Something feels funny here, right? I know. Why don't I search for this on Google, this sentence, and see what comes up? Okay. Now, that was from the Jeff Gerstmann review, right? Oh, look at this. Here's another review. Sky News Online by Mike Morton. IO Interactive is best known for its stealth-focused Hitman series, but there's nothing quiet or stealthy about this release.
Are you kidding me?
How curious! Almost the same exact sentence in a review at two completely different reviews. Oh, look, here's another link on the first page of Hits. This site called Video Game Players, submitted by some weirdo named Gneinging, which I can't really pronounce.
Not going to work here much longer.
Yeah. IO Interactive is best known for its stealth-focused Hitman series, but with their new game, there's nothing stealthy about it.
Nicely done, sir.
So how much money do you want to bet that this sentence was in the press release?
I think either it was in the press release or in some sort of email direct to every reviewer.
Yeah, I could totally see it being in the press release, and it probably was, and I didn't get the press release, but it's just so painfully obvious. And this is the kind of thing, you know, last week I was kind of talking about how there's like a frame game going on between the publishers who publish the games and want the coverage in the magazines and the magazines themselves. And this kind of behavior, right, is just you guys who are doing reviews, you're just giving all your power away, right? You're telling the people who are giving you these games and press releases, you know, yes, we're lazy. We're going to read what you say and just accept it and then just write it, right? You know? And I mean, okay, I understand. We're talking about games here. We're not talking about like world politics. But still, I mean, if you're going to write about something, have an original opinion, right?
Well, I mean, I think part of that stems from the fact that really you're not getting a lot of people who are educated journalists going into this sort of field.
Right, but
you neither
have to be too educated nor a journalist to understand this, right?
No, but my point is when you sit down Joe Bob, who's not educated in English, so to speak, I just mean like his background isn't in speaking well and forming interesting communications, he's like, oh, well, I want to say something about this. Let's go, the press release says this, so I'm going to use that because it eases my mind. I don't have to think of something to fill the page. And so, I mean, I'm not necessarily advocating that we go out and grab a bunch of journalists and
perhaps. And maybe it was, you know, I don't know, maybe it was original from GameSpot and the other outlets copied the GameSpot review. That's certainly viable
to
think.
I got to tell you, after all this Gerstmann thing, everyone's been saying bad things about the company, whatever. I just got this, I guess, side effect opinion that because I don't know the first thing about Grissman. I'd never heard his name before. Maybe I'd read a review of his, but I wasn't paying attention.
I met him a few times a few years ago.
Right. So, personally, I didn't know him by name on the internet either. But I just got the opinion that, oh, he must be a guy who's really honest and one of the better reviewers. If he's done it for 11 years and he's at the level that he's at, right, he must be one of the really good ones. And then you're telling me that his review, which we don't know if it was messed with by the time it got to us, has this sort of stupid, flagrant,
right.
I don't know if I want to call it an error, but stupidity in the article.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, I don't know how I should put this. It's like when you get a press release, right, I can totally see, just imagine, you know, the PR people, oh, how are we going to position Kane and Lynch? Oh, you know what? Our last game, Hitman, you know, people were talking about it being stealthy, and now stealthy's not cool anymore. I know, we'll just say that there's nothing stealthy about it, right?
And guns then, blazing.
And then, so, like, they're trying to get this message across, right, which is just, it's really just PR garbage. That, oh, okay, oh, there's nothing stealthy about it, so it's, you know, so it's cool again, because stealthy's played out now, and it's not the hot thing anymore, right? And then, so, they sent out the press release, whatever, and then all these people just who are writing the reviews, they just roll over and accept it. Part of this is, like, I think because of the structure of how a lot of video game review outlets work. I know that there's a certain kind of, like, okay, well, you know, people are expected to write some kind of introduction, right? And people are expected to, like, you know, put things in certain places. And a lot of times the structure kind of overshadows what somebody has to say about the game, so that a lot of times, like, the parts of where they have to – you know, oh, I have to write an intro about a game, right? Well, I don't care about the intro, you know? Oh, look, here's an intro on the press release. I'll just copy that, right? So I can see how it happens, right? And I think that in a lot of reviews, I don't think that we should really care too much to structure them so rigidly, right? I think what people care in reviews is...
You really think that they're structured that much?
Yes. I mean, when I used to do reviews, right, a lot of times they're like, okay, well... You know, I would get chided, actually, for example, you know, if I thought that the sound effects in the game were just, like, not worth talking about, I wouldn't talk about them, and then my editor would be like, why didn't you talk about the sound effects? Well, I didn't think they were worth talking about. Well, just mention them. No, okay, fine. Okay, so...
Is that because your reviews were based on sound and graphics, fun factor, gameplay?
No, not necessarily, right? But there's the structure, a lot of times, at least, you know, when I've done reviews... It's a little too imposing, right? And so it doesn't give the reviewer really the freedom to talk about whatever they want, which I really think they should, and they should throw out press releases, and they should just write what they think. And, I mean, you know, you're writing a review, you're an expert on games, ostensibly, right? I mean, you should be able
ostensibly to... Ostensibly is right there, Shirinian.
Yes. You should be able to, you know, make a decision about whether something's worth writing about or not.
Yeah, I agree with you, but at the same time, I can understand your editor's point of view, where, like... You know, people come and read this magazine and they want to see all aspects.
No, they don't. We tell them what they want.
Okay. Is that how it works?
That's how it works in my world.
All right. Well, feel free to comment on that. 866-536-1100. We've got some listener mail I'm going to want to get to later in the show.
You know, I've got a burgeoning backlog of mail. That.
Yeah, I was almost thinking before the show today that we'd just do a show completely based on listener mail, because we've been getting so much lately that, like, maybe we owe it, but I don't know. I was looking back on it. Maybe it's not all worthwhile, but there's a couple other things too. Your review thing. I mean, I hadn't done the research you did right there. That's funny to me.
Yeah, that took about 5 minutes, incidentally.
That makes me care even less about reviews. Like, at this point, if I ever want to know a review of a game, I just go to Metacritic. I see the overall number. I maybe cherry pick some of them and go, nope, that's lame, lame review.
Right.
Look at the one that says 45 and why they thought it was bad, and determine if I think there's any validity to the claim.
Right.
And, you know.
Actually, Metacritic, that's another really interesting thing that I've noticed lately. You know, I've been frequenting that site quite a bit, right? And I've noticed that I have a theory about an interesting phenomenon there, right? There's, you know, certain games that get really, really high marks, right? And certain games that get kind of like pretty low marks. There's a few outlets out there, most of them from UK, right? Where they'll give like abysmally low scores, you know? Not that they're not warranted, right? But the other outlets that are kind of their peers, right? Well, you know, let's say instead of a 30, give a 60 and mean kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah. Well, that's because of how we grew up and how in America
Right,
your,
but check this out.
Your grades are spread between 70 and 100,
check
not
this out.
0 and 100.
A game that gets, like, 4 reviews, which is the minimum required to get a Metacritic score, now there's a 30 there, which, like, drops it like crazy, whereas, like, Assassin's Creed has, like, you know, 50 90s, right, and 1 or 2 30s is not affected, and it kind of, like, skews the games that don't get a lot of reviews much lower.
I see what you're saying, man. Math is the culprit.
Yeah.
We'll be back after this.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
Ooh, haka chaka! Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alan.
My name's Aura.
And we do a show here. Video game show. You can go learn more about our show, a little bit at least, by going to chatterboxgameshow.com. We're thinking about a subtle redesign to kind of update the site and get people wanting to actually go there because there might be content on it, but there hasn't been in about a year. That's, you know, all of our faults, mostly me. I've been too busy, you know.
Times are about to change.
Giving money to large companies.
A new wind is about to blow.
So if you do go to the website, you can join in the live chatter room and actually talk to us during a show. To remind everyone, we're on at 9 p.m. local, at least, Tuesday nights. That's 8 p.m. West Coast and, what, like midnight? No, it's 11 East Coast. It says on the website.
For
I
now.
If you forget.
For this six-month period.
Yeah, we change all the time. And then, yeah, time zones change for you guys, not for us. Anyway, back to games. We've been talking about a lot of things. I said I wanted to get to the listener mail as well. I don't even know if that's going to happen. I didn't mention at all, other than the fact that I played Trauma Center, how frustrating the new Trauma Center is. Like, the old one gets to the point eventually where it's just too damn hard.
Alan, just admit it. You were never cut out to be a surgeon.
Well, that's the truth. Certainly, I got the shaky hands, but you got to, you know, finish a level. So for those who don't know, you play a surgeon. You go in, you know, some guy says... comes into your hospital emergency or whatever, and you gotta fix him up. So, like, you put on some antibiotic gel.
No, wait, first there's like 12 paragraphs of boring drama, and then you fix him up.
Actually, the drama is quirkily interesting. I don't know why. I do go through it as quickly as I can, but it's good. And the nurses are always cute. So anyway, like, you gotta basically you simulate being a surgeon. You know, you put the antibiotic gel on him, which is some fake concoction, and
you take a break. You go back with the nurse for about 10 minutes.
You slice him down the center, and then like you. Shoot cysts off with a laser, and you put these membranes on to patch them up. And anyway, it's fun.
It's a sweet game. I think that's definitely one of the best applications of the Wii, actually.
That's exactly what I was about to say. It's definitely one of the best applications of the controls on the Wii, because it focuses pretty much just on the controls. And anyway, so I enjoy it. But the first one, I got really far, which towards what I think is the end of the game, and the level just becomes impossible. You got to do it so fast and so perfectly. There's got to be something I don't know about to make it possible. I couldn't do it. I just stopped playing, but I had gotten a lot out of the game. So now the second one comes along. I'm still like, I just did a tutorial. It's right at the beginning of the game. Level three, the health basically, or your energy in the game is the vitals of your patient goes from 0 to 100, or 99, right? 99 is full health. And then it goes down. So there's one, depending on the situation with the guy, I've got a guy with a bullet wound, right? And you're performing surgery on his heart. Actually cutting his heart open, so it's pretty serious. I know a lot about the heart now after my trial. So slicing him open, so his vital goes down to 10, and you can't even get it past 10 because you can like shoot him up with injections and stuff to bring his vitals up. Won't go past 10, so you're working in a very small margin where you've got to patch him up real fast. But it's in like basically a tutorial level right at the beginning, and you've got to real fast, bing, 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 do this and this and this and this and this. And I have no idea how you're supposed to complete it in time. You just got to keep injecting him with the stuff, but then you got anyway.
We're getting old. Face
I'm going to calm down for a second. Seriously, dude.
Because I probably wouldn't be able to do it either.
It's too hard, too fast. And for some people, that might be good, but not in this game. I'm not enjoying it. That aspect was bugging me. But I am happy that you can play two-player, although my roommate does not want to play any Wii game. Oh, this is something I wanted to bring up, too. So talking about the Wii, I'm going to shift gears a bit. So he wants to play Resident Evil 5 for the PS3 because the PlayStation Network is so good about sending out movies.
That's the Resident Evil in Africa or whatever?
Yeah, the one with all making the black people angry. So Resident Evil 5, it downloads the trailer, says, wow, this looks really cool. And it
as most trailers do.
It certainly. Really. Yeah, and it doesn't look bad, admittedly. So we go to the store, and he wants to buy Resident Evil 4. It's a cheap game. Fine. Looks at PS2. And then I said, well, actually, it's on some other system. I couldn't even remember what. Oh, well, I know it's on the Wii, but the controls are a little bit different.
Right.
But it's also on the GameCube. So the salesman people at good old GameStop start telling us about, you know, which one's better, right? And the PS2 has tons of load times, so you get it on the GameCube. But I think my roommate's too scared to even get anything on the GameCube. It doesn't even know what it looks like, the GameCube itself. So then we're told, you know what, the Wii is really the best one. It's got all the content from the PS2 version. It's got the cool controls with the gun and everything.
Is he too timid to handle the Wii? I don't understand.
Well, he wants real traditional controls. But here's my point. So I'm an inverted guy in terms of the Y-axis in the games I play. I invert pretty much all the time.
Right. Like
Johnny,
aircraft piloting style.
Yes, exactly.
As
even
am
if it's
I.
First-person shooters or whatever. So
from those many years in the Air Force.
Yeah. Johnny, though, not an inverted guy, which sucks because when we trade off controller or whatever, we always got to go to the options and switch them. That's a different issue. Just means we need fingerprint identification in controllers. That's my new invention. Patent it, boys and girls. Anyway, so he's not an inverted guy. I am. So inverted, and I have to be clear for reasons you'll see in a minute, when you press up on the joystick, the screen goes down. When you press down on the joystick, the screen pans upward. That is inverted. Down goes up, up goes down. Makes sense, right?
Makes sense to me.
Now, some people don't want inverted. Fine, whatever. My point is, he plays not inverted. So in Halo or Call of Duty 4 or whatever the hell he's playing, he presses up. And by up, I mean extending the thumb, not bringing it closer to your body, pushing away if the controller were laying flat on a surface in front of you.
Right.
With the D-pad down facing your body. Pushing away is up. And he wants that to go up, not inverted.
Pretty straightforward.
Okay, I'm sorry about all the all the lead up here, but he takes the Wii remote, got the nunchuck in the left hand. To me, exactly the same as an analog stick on any other controller.
Sure.
Granted, it's not connected to your right hand, so you might physically tilt it wherever you want.
Right.
But the joystick, if you extend your thumb forward, I would say that's up. Right.
Works for me.
Something in his brain, he was like, Alon, this is weird. No, it's inverted. It's not. It's doing everything the opposite of what I said. And I used it. And I said, actually, Johnny, no, it's not inverted. This is normal, which bugs me. So it's hard for me to play this way. But this is exactly what you like. So I was like, here, show me.
So this isn't like you tilting the nunchuck side in any degree.
No,
this is just using the joystick.
So it's like, all right, John, show me for a second. Press, you know, up. And he pulls his thumb back.
Wow.
Something in his brain decided that the Wii remote was inverted itself. That up was back.
Was he standing
down
up?
Was forward. He was sitting down on the couch.
He was sitting down. He didn't have like his hand up near his head in the same place
sitting,
as normal?
He was sitting exactly the way he would hold a normal controller, except that it was split into two parts.
Yeah, I tell him to lay off the drugs.
I was like, John, I don't know what's wrong in your brain that's telling you that this... I brought over the 360 controller. I put it directly underneath the Wii remote. I said, John, press up for me on the Xbox 360 controller. Now press up for me on the Wii remote. I was like, see, same thing, right? Same thing. He's like, yeah. Like, okay, something's wrong in your head when you're using this Wii remote. I don't know why it's different. And nothing wrong with him. It's just fascinating.
Yes, as a scientist, that vexes me to no end.
And something that I'm very sure no developers have ever taken into account when making a game. Unfortunately, Resident Evil, notorious for not letting you mess with controls. Maybe it's not notorious, but it certainly doesn't let you mess with controls too much. I don't know if they let you change inversion from the main option screen. It's not on the pause menu, as far as I could tell.
Yeah, that's one of my pet peeves.
Kind of bugs me.
About any game that doesn't let you do that.
I haven't bothered researching enough. I remember I played it for a couple hours back during E3 when I was at a friend's house in LA, and I didn't like the controls a whole lot. Because you can't strafe, you turn when you walk, rather than strafing left and right. But I got used to it enough that I could play it for a couple hours, whereas Johnny couldn't do it. 5 minutes, put it down, can't handle it.
Right. Well, even he had more tolerance than I did, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so I got this Wii stuff out of my system. Talked about that a little bit. There's a couple other things that have been happening. First of all, we've got a caller who's been waiting for quite a long time, and I just want him to hold on because I spoke for too long. And the break's coming up. So
I've got a good thing I can mention real quick in our short time we have left before the break.
Okay.
My 360 is dying, right? You know this. I mentioned it several episodes ago.
Yeah.
Right?
We haven't heard an update on it, though.
Right. Here's the... Okay. It's still kind of dying. It's like... It's, you know, it's kind of like comes back to life and then dies again, right? So half the time it thinks I've got a DVD and half the time it doesn't. But I can't get it serviced for warranty because if it's broken like that, it's out of warranty, right? But if it's going to show the three red light problem, then it's going to be in warranty, right? So what kind of effed up problem is that? Like... I can only get it repaired under warranty if I break it more
in cover it with a towel
in a very precise way so that it'll show the three red lights.
Yep.
That's bizarre.
We're going to have to break it, my friend. We'll be back.
Welcome back, folks. It's the continuing, ever-present Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
I'm Alon.
And we've got something on the line, don't we?
We do have someone on the line. Before we get to him, I'm sure he's well aware that we tout the virtues of UAT, the University of Advancing Technology. You can go learn more about them at uat.edu, just like you can learn about us at chatterboxgameshow.com. Now, Mike from New York, you are on the air.
Howdy.
How's it going, Mike?
Pretty good. I wanted to talk about the game ratings you were talking about earlier.
You mentioned the game reviews or the ratings?
The game reviews, I guess.
Okay.
And I've been wondering what the relevance of game reviews are these days, because, I mean, sites like Metacritic, I'm looking at it right now, and they're talking about how they try to help consumers make an informed decision about how to spend their money. And usually the way I make an informed decision about how to spend my money is I try something out myself. So,
yes.
Yeah, but the question is, how do you try it without buying it or renting it or having to find a friend who already has it?
You steal it. That's how you try it. but no, it's actually a really good question. I've been asking myself this question, and I really think that not enough people are about, specifically, how is this relevant, right? I mean, what do I care what somebody else thinks, right?
Right.
I mean, I'm sure, okay, you know, maybe in the aggregate reviews might mean something, right? But... people aren't aggregates of anything, right?
No, wait, you've
people
said
are individuals.
You liked reading reviewers' reviews in a magazine that had reviewers reviewing the same type of game repeatedly.
Yes, that's the only way I think it works, because then you learn what their biases are, and then you can kind of adjust how you think you might feel about it based on your knowledge of their biases, right? But even like Metacritic, right? Because all the outlets, it's like a compilation of all the outlets, right? But then... within each outlet, anybody could be reviewing the thing, right? So you can't get any kind of consistency there. And
one of the things really funny about places like that, they talk about how they have a carefully screened group of critics. Who's doing the screening? I mean, I wonder if somebody's picking which biases to put on the site or not.
I got to tell you, some of the clipped reviews that I've seen in Metacritic, they are some doozies, some wastes of time in terms of reading and caliber of the quality behind the comment.
But yeah, I think that's BS. There's nothing careful about their so-called screening.
At the same time, as you put it, ostensibly professional reviewers...
You like that word, don't you?
Well, the thing is, like, yeah, if this person's hired and they actually do that, even if they weren't professional ahead of time and you just stuck someone in front and said, here, write game reviews, like, they're going to have some level of qualified opinion because they do...
Right.
They review games all the time, so they see what is the current state of graphics in gaming. You know, what's the current state of storyline and innovation in gameplay and all these different things. So I don't think you can completely dismiss reviews. I think they're valid. It's just sometimes you certainly, if you don't have a reviewer you're personally familiar with, I think you're going to not be able to sort the wheat from the chaff, so to speak, as often as you might need to, because certainly there's also a lot of fluff.
No, there's also, I mean, there is indeed some value to reviews and to scores, but to me, right, in terms of you're a consumer and you want to find out, am I going to like this game, right? In those terms, the number means absolutely nothing, unless maybe, you know yourself enough and you're kind of like aligned with the mass market enough that you'll go along with what the mass market usually likes, then maybe the number means something, right? But as far as...
It's a shepherding tactic.
What's that?
It's kind of a shepherding tactic, then.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, the Metacritic scores, even, it's a popularity meter, right? It's a hype meter, and it doesn't really see much more than that.
Well, not necessarily. I think if something... Well, in terms of, like, if the game is popular, right, but the game wouldn't be popular if it weren't actually good.
No. That's a very complex system.
I understand it gets more complex than that, but let me ask you this, right? When it comes to story and funness of a game, certainly hard to put in a review. But let me ask you this, Mike. If I tell you that, hey, there's this game, it looks really good in all the trailers, it's great. I haven't played Canon Lynch, so I don't know in case of Canon Lynch. But like I tell you, I've played this game, and it has really bad controls. Let's say, I want to say Uncharted, but it doesn't have really bad controls. It has some quirkiness, but there are games I've played with just horrible control. And that, to me, if I read that, I say, no matter how good the storyline is, no matter how good the visuals are, the sound, the innovativeness of some of the features in the game, if it's got bad control, that's the absolute most key component of any game, in my personal opinion. If you tell me it's got bad control, I don't want to play it.
You might have horribly deformed hands, so it might work out well for you. You never know.
Still.
Well, I mean, he makes a point. Like, there, you can still interpret that in different ways, right? And something that works well for somebody else might not for so much for someone, for another person. But even if you assume that, like, yes, let's say that, you know, somebody says, oh, a bad control is bad control, right? I mean, the body of a review, I think, has more value, right? The thing is, you can't encapsulate that into a number. You just can't.
Yeah. I mean, the bulk majority of the reviews that I've been reading, you know, they talk about the storyline and the characters and the interactions and the how it's all been developed and all this. And then there's a sentence or two that gives the positives and the negatives, and I just wonder how they can aggregate that into a number.
I do agree. Some people were, I think it was you, talking about on the chat earlier tonight, that it certainly would be nice to see more what is apparent, I guess, apparent unbiasedness, where they would actually say, here's the good things about it, here's the bad things about it. Like, people talk about CNET owning, you know, GameSpot and whatever, but, you know, they even in their reviews on electronics, when you go flat out to CNET, they're like, oh, here's the pros, here's the cons.
Right.
I don't know if they're really honest enough in those particular
clips, I think you're going in the right direction. What I always thought was the best way and the ideal way to write a review was that, you know, instead of kind of like injecting your own biases into it, although invariably you will one way or the other, I thought it was always best to just say, okay, this is what the game is like, right? Don't say, like, this is bad and this is good. Describe the game. Describe what's in it, and then let the reader decide, oh, I judge this to be bad or I judge this to be good, instead of you prejudging for them and kind of, like, imposing your will onto them, which is, unfortunately, what most reviewers will do.
Yeah, well, if you're researching for, when you're reading a review, if you're researching for funness, I think you really can only do it if it's in the world that Ara describes as good, where you understand a reviewer's opinion because you've seen their reports in several particular games that you've played, and then you either know that you consistently agree or disagree or at least understand their point of view based on a history. But if someone's trying to encapsulate funness in words, then yeah, that's going to be pretty valueless if I haven't read it, something from that person before. So anyway, Mike, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. Anyone else, it's probably too late to give us a call, but maybe next show, 866-536-1100. Keep it in the back of your brain.
It's really like it's a very poppy thing, right? I mean, the number is there because most people don't like reading, and it's very satisfying to see a number, right? It's a very definite, concrete judgment. It's like, this game is an 8.
Well, it might
right? There's no room for interpretation.
It kind of caters to those advertisers, too. And I think...
Well, sure, absolutely.
We were talking about The Escapist last week.
Right.
And apparently they don't do numbers. And I think there's a great value to that. Like,
right.
They want you to read the review and actually understand what is it we're saying about this. And that's why we chose to have them on, because they're so different.
Yeah, and the system feeds on itself, right? Because it's like, the writers suck. So you don't... Nobody wants to read the review because the writing's not good. And then... So there's that number, but then, you know, the number's not giving you enough information anyway, right? So there's the thing.
It's a difficult state of the union that we're in.
Really, just people, just read more, make your own decisions, don't listen to other people.
Well,
stuff like that.
I have mixed feelings. I don't think they're as useless as we kind of described on the show today. But certainly you have to take them all with a grain of salt. And the value in Metacritic is that you get to see a lot of people and see if there's one reviewer just completely pandering, then hopefully you can figure that out. What I want to see is, you know how they quote? I want to have them all quote the same thing like you did tonight.
Yeah, that would be
accidentally
sweet.
On Metacritic. That'd be great. Anyway, we're at the end of the show, everyone. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you're going to be back next week. And actually in 2 weeks when it's Christmas, I suspect we'll be doing a show because... Hell, I don't go anywhere for Christmas, so hopefully we'll see you then, too.
That makes two of us. Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.